So today I'm speaking to Sarah Olney. You have been the elected MP for Richmond Park, and you're obviously going for re-election. There's been a poll by NatSen saying public confidence in politicians and the political system is at an all-time low. Do you still think you have the confidence of the constituents of Richmond Park?
Well, we'll find out on the 4th of July, but or rather the 5th of July. I'm getting a very good reception on the doorstep. I think people have been, I've been responding to people's concerns as much as I possibly can over the last 4.5 years. Things like Hammersmith Bridge, things like the Teddington DRA scheme that Thames Water are bringing forward, things like crime and policing, and calls to bring back a police station in Richmond Town Centre. So I've really been working hard on a lot of these issues, and these are the things that people really, really care about. I'm hoping that people will want to back me again to be their MP.
Yeah, I've noticed on Twitter you've been talking about policing on the streets and getting extra policing on the streets. Is that the aim to get a police station back?
Yeah, that's what I've been calling for. I think it's really, really important that the police have a proper presence, particularly in Richmond. It's quite a large town centre there. But I think people want that reassurance of not just the police station in their community, but visible policing, so that that they have that reassurance. But also, it does deter so much of the kind of low-level crime and antisocial behaviour that we see,
Yeah.
which doesn't always get the attention that it needs, but can have a really significant impact on people's lives and their sense of well-being and the extent to which they feel safe in their homes. So I think for me, that's a real priority and something I'll keep working on.
I think part of the problem with the policing is the recruitment within the police force itself. A lot of them are leaving because of mental health issues, of stress, of being stuck in front of computer screen, doing too much admin. It's really trying to get the bobby back on the beat, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is. I mean, we talk about neighbourhood policing, but that's precisely what we mean about police. And it's not just about being, visible. It's also about being part of the community. You recognise your local police constable. You know who to speak to. You know that they're, where to find them if you need them. In so many parts of London, I think that there is a bit of a breakdown in the relationships between police and the wider community, and just having that visible police presence will make a big difference, I think, to restoring
Yeah.
trust.
Really. Big talk about NHS within the Liberal Democrats about this 5-year plan to make it, I think, legal for somebody that must see their GP within a time period. How are you going to work that one?
So our plan is to give everybody the right to see their GP within 7 days, so that we don't have people waiting weeks and weeks for an appointment. Obviously, there needs to be some fairly wholesale kind of change in order to make that happen. It's about retaining the doctors we have. It's about training new ones. It's not obviously not something. It's not a right that we can sort of enshrine overnight, as it were. To go back to your policing point, it's about retention a lot of the time, and it's about putting in place greater investment in things like primary healthcare so that people can get to see their GP in a timely way, and that keeps them out of hospital lots of the time. It's our NHS pledge isn't just around GPs. We also want to bring down waiting lists for hospital treatment, and we also want to really increase the improve the level of cancer care in this country.
Absolutely. I mean, you need to basically treat the cancer before it appears,
Absolutely.
preventative
And that, but I
treatment.
mean, that comes back to making sure people get a GP appointment within 7 days. That's the sort of that's the reason why that's important. We've got to be able to identify and respond quickly when people are, first reporting symptoms of cancer.
And are the BMA on board with this idea? Because there have been, I mean, over the years, I trained as a pharmacist, and over the years, there's been a lot of they've not wanted to divert any of their skills away to other groups like practice nurses, pharmacists. They wanted to keep all the skills themselves. But we've got to a point with the NHS when it was invented all those years ago. There's a lot more sick people. There's a lot more diseases that can be treated now, and they need to diversify so that you've got doctor's assistants coming. I think there's a degree course in a doctor's assistant, and yet I know a young man that's doing that course. And he's getting a lot of flack. He's not getting,
Yeah,
you're not
I
one
think.
of us type attitude.
Yeah, so I think that's right. There are some still quite traditional attitudes in the NHS. You'd have to ask the BMA themselves what they think of our plans. But what we're really focused on is what people are saying to us. We've talked to people, you know, voters on the doorstep, but also people in their real life experiences. And these are the barriers that they're experiencing. It's hard to get a GP appointment. What can we do about that? We can train more GPs. But yes, we can also diversify sources of help and advice. So that, you know, yes, people should be able to go to their local pharmacy. If it's a minor niggle, then let's free up, you know, the sorts of things that pharmacists can prescribe, you know, obviously within safe limits. But what can nurses do? What can we want to put mental health workers in every school as well. And that will make, I think, a really big difference to young people in terms of their being able to access mental health. There's a real barrier to treating young people's mental health at the moment. We simply don't have enough practitioners, but even then they're incredibly difficult to find. You go on a waiting list, yeah. You wait an awfully long time. We want to see community hubs. We want to see mental health workers in schools. This yeah. will all take time. We're not promising that any of this can happen overnight, but if we've got that as a goal, then we can start to really plan the sort of our workforce needs and work towards that.
Yeah. Moving on from mental health, that's great, because I was going to ask you, the three dads have recently seen gongs, three dads walking for their work for this new suicide prevention charity called Papyrus. And I spoke to Harry Big Davison, who is the chair of trustees, because he lives in Wimbledon. And it's now going through to a phase where it's now with the civil servants, is to bring suicide prevention as part of the school curriculum. And would the Lib Dems carry that forward if they got into power?
Absolutely. It's something that I personally have been pushing for in the last parliament. I have a campaigner in the Richmond Park constituency who has been a very passionate advocate for this, because he lost his own son to suicide. And what I've been pushing for on his behalf, what we're looking for is the Department for Health to publish their suicide prevention strategy. And it's one of those things. We got a lot of support for our campaign from Sajid Javid, who previously was health secretary, because he himself lost a brother to suicide. And it's one of those issues that once you start talking about it, so many other, you realise how many families have been impacted by this. And it's something that stays with people. It's not, you know, it leaves very lasting scars for family members. So I really want to see the Department for Health and the Health Secretary and the new government, you know, really commit to publishing that suicide prevention strategy, I should say, and implementing it and supporting its rollout.
Good. Moving on. So Hammersmith Bridge, you probably had a lot of people on the doorstep saying, what are you going to do about Hammersmith Bridge? What is going to be done about Hammersmith Bridge to be re-elected?
I mean, I've been pushing for, you know, repairs to Hammersmith Bridge ever since I got elected. It's been such a long time, and it's really quite depressing to think that we're not much further forward than we were in December 2019, when Conservative politicians were standing by the bridge saying it was their priority to get it fixed, and we've seen nothing in that time. There is a proposal on the desk of the Department for Transport from the London Borough of Hammersmith and Fulham, who own the bridge, about, you know, how it can be fixed, what kind of, you know, what kind of funding is needed, and so on and so forth. The Department for Transport have had it for 2 years and they haven't done anything with it. And every time I ask, they say they're still considering it. So I really hope that if we get a new government on July the 5th, you know, they will push forward and at least make a decision about what the future of Hammersmith Bridge is going to be. Because apart from anything else, it's the uncertainty that is so, you know, devastating for people who live nearby. I have so many parents now who've had to say to me they've had to send their children to a different school, for example, or people have had to change their patterns of work or how they get to work because they can't get across the bridge in a timely fashion. So I really, really want to see some political leadership on this. And it has to come from a central government. It has to come from the Department for Transport, because the other partners involved, Hammersmith and Fulham, TfL, they don't have the funds that are required to fix the bridge. So that leadership has to come from the Department for Transport. And I really hope we'll see a change. Yeah. If we have a change of government, that, you know, a change in attitude towards Hammersmith Bridge.
We need some innovative engineering. Having just come back from Normandy, Sarah.
Yeah, there's no
and
shortage.
I saw the Mulberry Harbour.
No,
the
I'm sure.
Harbour,
I know.
There, 8 years on.
Alan Beckett,
MP, he was one of the engineer, British engineering. I believe, actually, we know his son, who still runs the company, that they were approached, or they had some ideas for Hammersmith.
Yeah, no, there is no shortage. There is no shortage of innovative engineering ideas out there. So many people have approached me. There are so many things we could do. but it needs a decision made and it needs somebody to come up with a funding. So, you know, it's not for lack of ideas of how to fix the problem. There's some really impressive ideas out there, but they all need funding. And that's the sticking point.
Funding is a big issue. And probably lastly, the issue is sewage dumping in the Thames.
Yeah.
I know it's a big aim of yours to take control or get Thames water under control by alternative administration. How far are you getting with that?
So I've been pushing, I was pushing the last government for some time because we know that Thames Water are suffering some financial difficulties at the moment. They, you know, their investors were refusing to put in any more money. We know that they were in danger of defaulting on their debt. The problem is actually with Thames Water's holding company, the operating company itself. Still seems to be solvent. So the idea of the special administration regime is that the operating company of Thames Water could be detached, if you like, from their holding company. Holding company could go away and sort out its own debt problems. And then Thames Water could be put into the special administration regime, you know, sorted out and then, you know, look for another owner. But so that's what I was calling for, because we need some certainty about the future of Thames Water. None of the problems around sewage dumping or you know, leaks or the terrible customer service that they offer can be resolved as long as there's still problems around its kind of its ownership structure and its financing. But in addition to that, in this general election, the Liberal Democrats are campaigning much more widely on the whole issue of sewage in our rivers, not just in the Thames, but more widely. We want to see an entirely new regulator that's got a commitment not just to, you know, making sure that there's a useful competitive environment, which is what the current regulator does, but, you know, much more robust targets around environmental, you know, quality and customer service. You know, there needs to be much, much better regulation of the...
Oops, I've lost you.
Of the water companies, we want to see an end to sewage dumping. We want to see much greater fines on companies. We'd have a blue flag status for rivers so that people would know that it's safe to swim in them. I've spoken to some amazing organisations that do water sports in the Thames, so Albany Outdoors in North Kingston, the Blue Tits, they call themselves, the ladies swimming group, you know, based in Teddington, who swim between, you know, just dive off the bank at Ham. And, you know, and they're really worried about the future of their activities because they can't be confident about the cleanliness of the water. So, you know, we've really, really got to get to grips with this issue.
Yeah. And briefly, boundary changes. Do you think they're going to affect the voting for you?
I don't think they'll make a huge difference to me. I will have a smaller constituency. I'm losing a ward to Kingston and Surbiton, and everything else remains the same. So I think there'll be fewer electors in my slightly reduced patch, which, you know, will make, if people want to kind of compare results from 2019 to 2024, they'll need to take that into consideration. But effectively, everybody who's in Richmond Park this time was in Richmond Park last time, so it's not like I've got new voters coming in. So I don't think it will make a massive difference to me, but it certainly will, I think, in other parts of the country. You know, some quite significant changes elsewhere. So that, I think that will have a bit of an impact in how we in how the, some of the results come out.
And finally, as a party you did really well in the local elections, is hoping it can be pushed forward in the general election. How much do you think of tactical voting is going to take place?
it's so hard to tell. I mean, I think what I'm finding in, I've been campaigning obviously mostly in Richmond Park. I've also been across to Wimbledon. I've been to a few other of our target seats. I'm finding lots of positive responses for the Liberal Democrats on the doorsteps in those seats. There are, you know, certain seats that we're targeting. We're not working hard everywhere, but there are certain seats that we hope to get. Yes, we hope that people will consider tactical voting, because we will be, in the seats that we're fighting, the best placed party to defeat the Conservatives. And there's no doubt voters everywhere are, you know, wanting to vote in a way that will, you know, get the Tories out. There's a big impetus in this election to get rid of the Tory government. So I think, you know, as I say, in certain places, we are the best opportunity. Yes, in Richmond Park and Twickenham and Kingston and Surbiton, but also Wimbledon, Carshalton and Wallington, Esher and Walton. So seats like that, you know, vote Liberal Democrat if you don't want a Tory. And I'm hoping that will, you know, that we'll get some good results on July the 4th.
Super. And just before you go, Europe, what as a party do you feel about realigning back with Europe, having more trade agreements, getting back, not, I mean, Greens want to go back into Europe. I don't think the Lib Dems are saying they want to do that, but they certainly want to make better connections for trade.
Sure, sure. I mean, our immediate priority is just to improve the relationship with, you know, our European neighbours. The Conservatives have done so much damage, not just through Brexit, but also through the disastrous post-Brexit deal, through their continued, you know, poor relations with our European partners. We urgently need to repair some of that damage. We need to establish ourselves as a reliable partner again, not just in trade, but in defence and all sorts of other things. So that's got to be the immediate priority. We want to see what can be done on, you know, what might be called side agreements, things like a veterinary agreement to ease the trade in foodstuffs, you know, mutual recognition of professional qualifications so that, you know, people can move more easily to
more GPs,
services.
More GPs.
Exactly. Absolutely. That. Youth mobility scheme is going to be so important to allow young people the opportunity to travel and work in, you know, in Europe and for Europeans to come here. And I think, you know, in terms of a kind of just a kind of a cross-cultural exchange of ideas, that's so important. So those are the sorts of things that we'll be looking that we would like to see, you know, happening. And then it's just a question then of sort of, you know, once we've successfully established some of those relationships and agreements, how can they be developed? How can they be fleshed out? Yeah, eventually we'd like to go back into the single market. But it's, you know, it's going to take a long time. It's not purely our decision. You know, we've got to be partners with the European Union, and it's about what will they, you know, they've got to be ready to welcome us, as it were.
Yeah, so, we've got to renegotiate as well, something that half as deep as what we had before.
It's not as simple as just reversing Brexit. There was an opportunity to do that, you know, a few years ago, but that opportunity doesn't exist now. We have to start from where we are and build back that relationship. It's not going to be a straightforward or an easy or a quick process.
Okay, I think that's a bit. One sentence about voting for Liberal Democrats.
Vote Liberal Democrat to get rid of your Tory MP in the areas where we were, you know, where we were second last time.
Wonderful. Sarah, I'll let you go. Thank you so much. I look forward to catching up after the election.
Thank you, Jackie. Thanks for your time.
Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.